My name is Stan Corley, and I am a medical doctor, so I've had some years of learning how to study. I know for you to be here to study, you have had to be a very, very good student to begin with. So I'm not sure how much I can tell you how to be a good student, but maybe there's some things you can learn. Maybe some new things. So how about if we just talk through this, and then if we have some questions, you can ask me. Many of the references you see listed are proverbs. These are proverbs listed in the Bible. The very helpful words of wisdom. One of the proverbs says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. So let me suggest to you that there are three types of knowledge or three types of learning. One of those has to do with learning knowledge or data, information. The process for transmitting data is teaching. A second type of learning is that involving skills. And the way skills are transmitted is by training. Very often it's, let me show you, do as I do. It's a teaching a skill. A third type of learning is that of character. And character is transmitted by one person building that quality into the life of another. We can learn personal character qualities simply by being around someone else. Here are some examples. In Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men shall be wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. So if you want to be wise, spend time with wise men. You become wise. Another, you can learn how to be angry. You can learn anger. Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25 says, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, lest you learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. We can learn how to be angry, how to be an angry person. You're getting in fights. We can learn that. We don't want to, but that can be learned. In the New Testament, in the book Acts chapter 4, verse 13, there were some men who were taken to court. And this is the comment about these men. Now, as they, and these were the judges, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. For Christians, this is an objective, a desire for many Christians to want to be like Jesus. And the way we become like Jesus is to spend time with him. But those are examples of how we can learn character. It's a part of learning. Usually, you do not get this on an exam. You never get tested on character. We get tested most often on knowledge and then some on skills. Very seldom are we tested on character. But it still is a very important part of learning. For this seminar, what we will try to concentrate on is perhaps knowledge and some on skills. As far as learning character, there are some opportunities for you to learn character, like the Bible study groups on Friday night, to spend time with other friends, men who are wise. There are opportunities for you to learn that. But I won't be able to give you much character in an hour, but we will try. As far as studying, one of the basic prerequisites is to simply understand the assignment. Have you ever taken an assignment, done hours of work, handed it in, and found out you did the wrong thing? Have you ever done that? I mean, I have. It was very disappointing. I was tired, and I did the wrong thing, and I got a bad grade. You know, Yes. So what I tried to do was to plead with my professor and say, give me another chance. But it's helpful to understand when the assignment is due. If you miss the deadline, you still do not get credit for the assignment. So a simple thing also, if you're not clear on the assignment, just ask questions. And I know many of you are good at asking questions. You ask hard questions, but that helps. Now, there are some study aids for you. One of those is a tutor. Many of you have worked with a tutor before. And a tutor can be helpful, especially in a course that you find very difficult. Now, you may be smart enough that you never, ever need a tutor. Someone may ask you to tutor them. But it's still, it's a very helpful device to use, to have a tutor. Another help is a study group. Do you have any groups where you get together and talk through problems or questions? Do you have groups? Do you study with groups? Is anybody? I remember in calculus, when I was taking calculus, we used to, about five of us, we would get together and work the problems together as a group. And I found that many times I could get the problem answered faster if I did it as a group. The thing to remember is that the group will not do your homework for you. You have to do your own studying, but the group can be of much help to you. A third thing that can help you is to develop your reading skills. Have any of you taken a course on reading, speed reading, or speed learning? You have? There are some basic principles that can help you to improve the way you read. And I've listed some of these. For instance, when you get a book, there are several things you can do with the book to understand it better. First of all is to survey the book, then to scan the book, to skim the book, then to read it, then to review what you've read. In surveying a book, the Bible, Bible is a Greek word that means book. That's all it is, book. Actually, it's books. The Bible is a collection of books. So if you selected one of the books, excuse me, you could do the same thing with one of those books. If this were a textbook, what you would want to do is first of all survey the book. Look in the table of contents. See what is in the book. Look in the back at the index. Look at some of the words that are used. And as you look through the index, it will help you understand what the author considers very important in his book. It helps also to look in the front of the book and see who wrote it. Who wrote the book? If you may know the professor who wrote it. And then also see when the copyright date was, when the book was published. If it was published in the 1800s, it might tell you something, as opposed to being published in 1984 or 1986. That's helpful information. And that's in the survey of the book. It gives you an overall perspective of what's involved. Then you can scan the book, look through the chapter titles, flip through the book, and see what the chapter titles are. And there are often divisions within the chapters, headlines, there are pictures, and captions under the pictures. And you can scan through the book as you do that. Are these new to you? Maybe you're doing these already. But the survey, you scan the book, then you can skim the book. That means rapid reading. And this is where it takes, for me, a lot of practice. I'm still trying to learn this, but where you read through the book rapidly. Through many courses that you hear of speed reading, this is what they're talking about, skimming. And you just look down the page. You're not trying to read everything that's there. Look down the page, turn the pages rapidly, and do a certain pace for each page. And it may take you perhaps an hour to go through a thick book. You will not remember everything that's in there. You don't have to. But at least you'll have an understanding of what the book is about. Then after you have surveyed the book, scanned the book, and skimmed through it, then you have an understanding of what you want to read. And as you do read, things will be familiar to you. You can read more slowly. And you'll retain more because you know what is in the book already. Now, am I talking too fast? Maybe a little bit? Okay. Then after you have read the book, then you have the opportunity to review the book. You may choose to outline the book. You may choose to take notes. With your assignment, you may have questions that need to be answered. And since you've read the book, you can review it and answer some questions and have a firm grasp on what is in the book. And if you follow those steps, it will improve your ability to read remarkably. It takes practice. I realize that in Chinese you start at the back and then go forward, but at least in English books... In English books, this is a good pattern to get into. And if you can improve your reading skills, then you can learn more and spend less time doing it, and maybe even less effort. So that's an objective. But it can help you be a better student and hopefully make better grades if you can do that. Another item, how are we doing on schedule? When do I quit?
7:15.
Okay, all right. There are a number of books that are called how-to books. For instance, books How to Study, or a book How to Make a Doghouse, or How to Work on Your Car. There are a number of books that can help you learn some skills as far as studying. One of those books is The Christian Student's Guide, the Christian Student's How to Study Guide, written by Jerry White. And another one, How to Get Better Grades and Have More Fun. And those are how-to books. They give you some practical pointers, practical suggestions on how to be a better student. There are some other helpful hints on how to study well. One of those is to learn to panic early. In college, I often worked with a pattern that I would put off starting to study until the day or two before a big examination. So I would stay up late into the night, study late, and study to the very last minute because I was panicked having to learn all this material before I took the test. There was a friend of mine, as an example, we were assigned a term paper, and we had 8 weeks to get the term paper done. Well, my friend, on that very day that we got the assignment, he went to the library and began checking out books and studying. And I thought, why are you doing that? We have 8 weeks to get this in. He worked, and he got his term paper handed in 1 week early. And I was just then getting my outline together and beginning to type it up. And I stayed up all through the night typing my term paper so I could hand it in the following morning. And the week before the term paper, he was playing tennis with friends because he had it done already and he got a good grade. So I have tried to learn how to panic early instead of waiting till the last minute to panic and staying up all night. There is a proverb, Proverbs 12, verse 24. It says, "The hand of the diligent will lead, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor." Very, very often, those men and women who learn to panic early and keep things under control often wind up being the leaders because they're diligent. But those who like me, would wait till the last minute, it's almost like being put to forced labor, that I'd have to work very, very hard at the last minute. And I had time for nothing else except to study because I waited too late. But that can help you a great deal. Panic early, not late. One of the things that I found in college, even now, is that there's some assignments that I simply am not interested in, and other assignments that I'm afraid of. So it's hard to get started. But many times, just the simple thing of getting started just getting started on the assignment can give me the motivation to get the assignment completed. There were a number of times when I knew my professor was very interested in this topic, and I thought, I'm not interested in that. And I found that the longer I put off getting started, the harder it was to get started on that assignment. There is another word of wisdom in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 11. In the Living Bible, it says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. So if you wait to get interested in the subject before you start it, you're not going to get anything done, really. But many times, if you just will get started, you may find you get interested in the subject as well. Another helpful hint is to schedule time for spiritual training. We talked about three types of learning. There is knowledge, there are skills, and then there is character. Jesus understood that we cannot get a complete education without also training our spirits as well. And he gave some very strong advice to his followers, to his disciples. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added as well. He also said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what if you're a four-point student? And what if you're the president of the college? Or what if you're the governor of your state or your province? What if you gain the whole world and you're very rich? But when you die, you lose your own soul. Jesus said, what good is that? If you gain everything else but lose your own soul. So he said, first, seek the kingdom of God. Then all these things will be added to you. So it's important to schedule time for spiritual training. Another thing is to schedule time for rest and for relaxation. I think it's interesting that in the Old Testament that Jake was telling us about, God commanded the nation of Israel to rest one day out of every seven. He thought that was important for them. And he commanded them to rest. And it was part of their schedule that they had time to quit their work and rest. There is a book that I recommend called Ordering Your Private World. It's written by Gordon MacDonald. And it's very helpful to help you understand how your work and your rest work together. Now, I'm talking about schedule. How many of you use a written schedule? Do any of you use a schedule? Can you show me your hand? Why don't each one of you take one of these? This is a format that you can use to develop a schedule for yourself, to include your classes and other activities that you need to do. When I was in college and in medical school, and even now, when I choose to understand how I want to spend my time, I put my time together on a schedule. Ah, thank you. Thank you. Are you using a schedule now, or are you?
Sometimes daily I can go through what I'm going to go through.
Okay. I'm trying to think of someone with classes. Shai Quiz?
Chin.
Chin. Are you a student here at OCU? What are you studying?
Biology.
Accounting. Good. Why don't, would you mind if we used your class schedule as an example?
Class schedule.
Yes. Yes, just, this is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Do you have classes on Saturday?
No. I have no class after Friday to Sunday.
Okay. Well, let's include these days as well. Monday, what are your classes on Monday?
6 p.m. to 7:15.
Okay.
And then 8:45 to 10. Yeah, only
English. Okay. So then during the day, you don't have any classes scheduled. Okay, how about on Tuesday?
11 in the morning.
Okay. All right.
Wednesday is the same as Monday.
All right. At 8:45 to 10.
Thursday is the same as Tuesday.
Okay. But this helps you. If you see this on a schedule, you know that you have other time available for other things. You can study. You can work or whatever you need to do. Now, I was told when I was in college that if I spent 2 hours on my own personal study time for each 1 hour of lecture, that I could make very good grades. So what I did is I scheduled in, first of all, my classes. Then I scheduled in time to study. So I had the time designated on when I was going to study. Now, see, this is 1 hour and 15 minutes. We'll be generous. We'll say an hour and a half. And this, again, is approximately the same?
Yeah.
Okay. So this then is 9 hours per week, right? 3 hours. Maybe less than that. Is this graduate school? Are these graduate courses?
Not exactly.
Okay.
2 subjects is undergraduate.
All right. Well, some classes are much more difficult. You may choose to give yourself more time. So if you have a total of 9 hours per week of class time, then you want to schedule at least 18 hours per week of study time. And you can designate it and schedule it in any of these areas. Now, I don't know what your schedule is, but let me just work from this as an example. So we want 18 hours. So we'll say 9 to 12 on Monday morning. We'll put in 3 hours of personal study time. On Tuesday morning, let's say we'll study 9 to 11. That's 2 hours. Wednesday morning, again, we'll go 9 to 12. That's another 3 hours. We'll try to stay in the mornings and leave the afternoons free for right now. 9 to 11. 2 hours. And Friday is pretty well open, but we'll go again 9, maybe to 12. So this is 3, 5, 8, 10, 13. So we need another 6 hours someplace to study. This is the evening. I'm drawing too big, but let's say this is afternoon. So this is all morning studying. So we need another, what did we decide, another five hours to get 18 hours? So say on Tuesday afternoon, you study from 1 to 3. That's 2 hours in the afternoon. And since this is a long day, we'll study here another 2 hours. Then a Friday afternoon, perhaps another 2 hours. I'm not sure if you can read all that, but let's look at the personal study time you have. This is 3 hours here, so it's 3, 5, 7, 10, 12, 14, 17, and 19. So with this schedule, you have 9 hours of class time, or a little less, and then 19 hours, which is a little bit more than you need, to study. And look at the time you have available. You have Monday afternoon completely free, Tuesday night completely free, Wednesday afternoon, completely free. Thursday night, Friday night, and all weekend. And you have all this time that you can do other things. You can work or travel or spend time with friends or take someone on a date. Lots of other things you can do. And you can feel good about that because you know that you're doing a good job with your studies and that you have enough time to do it. And you notice that you have time to sleep. That's an added plus. One of the things that helped me more than anything else was to schedule time to sleep. And I put down on this schedule what time I was going to go to bed. I think I need more room. Now, is this helpful to you? Perhaps learning how to use a schedule? It may be more later. Let's put this aside and let's just look at sleep time. In the morning time, I don't know what your schedule is like, but let's say you get up at 6 in the morning. Okay? You get out of bed. There are certain things that we usually like to do, like to, most of us may shave, shower, and then some people like to eat breakfast. I like to eat. So it takes time to do that. So if you get up at 6 o'clock, then, you can give yourself a nice leisurely time. Half an hour to shower, to bathe and dress. And then, even if you only give yourself an hour to eat for breakfast. Then with the schedule we just talked about, you still have time between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning that is spare time because you don't start studying till 9. So you have plenty of time to do this. Now, considering this as Monday morning, what you do Sunday night will have a direct impact on how able you are to get up Monday morning. Now, if you go to bed at 12 o'clock Sunday night, how much sleep are you going to get? 6 hours. Yes. Well, what if you go to bed at 11? 7 hours. You know, for college students, that's really a lot of sleep, 7 hours. But you can function very, very well, and your mind can be sharp, you can be physically strong by getting plenty of rest. And 7 hours should be plenty. It really should. If you'd like to get 8 hours, just go to bed at 10. And you can feel great. One of the things that's been very, very helpful for me, I mentioned scheduling time for spiritual training. One of the most important activities anyone ever shared with me was a daily time alone with God. So what I do as part of my morning schedule is I schedule some time to spend time alone with God. And you may choose to spend maybe 30 minutes. You could maybe schedule it before breakfast. For instance, if you spend just 30 minutes eating breakfast instead of 1 hour, what that would mean is that after you bathe and dress at 6:30 to 7 o'clock, you spend time with God. One of the ways that I use, or the terms, is quiet time or devotion. But we'll call it devotion time. Then, at 7 o'clock, breakfast. And I still have time till 9 o'clock to begin studying, according to the schedule we've talked about. During this time, what I do is to read a portion of the Bible. And I've just been reading through certain books. And I read a portion of the Bible, and then I talk to God about what I've read. And I pray about my needs for the day. And that even that 30 minutes makes a lot of difference for me spiritually. But it can be done. You can be a good student, an excellent student, and have time for all of this. Now, in addition to this, this is just personal time. One of the opportunities available to many of you is time to get spiritual training from other people. So, see, Chen, on the schedule we worked out, I think we had, Monday afternoon, Tuesday evening, Wednesday afternoon, this is Monday afternoon, Tuesday evening, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday evening, Friday evening, and then all day Saturday and Sunday. This means that you have opportunity to attend maybe a Bible study group, like the one on Friday night. You know, there's time to go to that. You have opportunities to do things on Saturday and Sunday, like go to the basketball game. Or you may choose to attend a church or a fellowship group. And you have time to do that and to be a good student and to be healthy, to get plenty of rest. But that is the value of actually putting on paper how you use your time. It's a similar principle to when you're doing an audit. One of the first things you do in an audit is find out where someone is spending their money. You have to write it down. Then, after you find out how they've spent their money, then you can establish a budget because you know how you've spent your money in the past, and then plan for the future. And this is just simply auditing and budgeting time rather than money. It's very, very helpful. Speaking of auditing time, we have another 15 minutes. Another thing that will help you plan your time is a calendar. You use a planning calendar. And you can write down deadlines for certain assignments. You can put down someone's birthday or a particular event like this conference. You can write it into your schedule. And then, as you're planning your daily, weekly activities, you can refer to this overall calendar and enter these into your daily schedule. And that keeps you from forgetting things. There are things that I like to remember these days, like my wife's birthday and our anniversary, certain birthdays, but I have to write some of those things down to remember them. That can be a tremendous help to you. But using a schedule will help. Let's see. Another thing that will help you study is to have the right place. I'm under Roman numeral 3. D. I've heard the story of a Chinese scholar who used to sit in a chair that had a nail in the back of it, and he had a candle so that if he fell asleep, he'd burn his forehead. Who was that? Do you remember the story? I don't know the gentleman's name, but I've heard about him. He was very, very disciplined. But that, I don't know if you want to study with nails in your chair, but you can use some of that thinking to help you stay alert. You do want to have a place where you are comfortable enough so that you're not distracted from studying. You want to be able to concentrate. I have never been able to study very well when there is lots of noise or a lot of music. It helps me if I'm in a place that's quiet. And you want to have access to a clock or a watch, so that you know how you're fitting on your schedule. It'll help you pace your work. If you study in a place that's too comfortable, like these chairs, you sink down into these chairs, it's easy to go to sleep. So you don't want to go to sleep. You want to be comfortable, but not too comfortable. And then have good lighting. If you can't really read comfortably, it will make you tired. It's hard to concentrate when you're feeling more tired. So have good lighting, a good seating position, and a place that's quiet. Now, let's look at Roman numeral 5. It's on the back of your second page. Certainly. Oh, you have this? Okay. These are some hindrances, things that will keep you from being a good student. The first thing is having no plan. There is a saying that says, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. So you want to have a plan. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says, for want of skillful strategy, an army is lost. Victory is the fruit of long planning. What you want to do is to plan to make A's. I think you want to make A's. Yeah, that's what you want to try for. But if you have no plan, it may be very difficult for you to do that. There is also another word of wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. It says, a dull axe requires great strength. Be wise and sharpen the blade. You can work very, very hard at being a student if you have a dull axe. But if you sharpen your skills and work by a plan, you may require less effort because the axe is sharper. It cuts better. Another hindrance to studying is television. When I was in college, at 4:30 every afternoon, MASH came on TV, and there was a herd of students who would gather around the TV at 4:30 every day. But it will keep us from studying. The television producer's job is to keep our attention focused on the television. And there, you may want to schedule time to watch TV. It's fun. But if you're wanting to study, then TV can keep you from studying. So be aware of that. I've also heard TV is time vulture. Do you know what a vulture is? It's a bird that sleeps down and steals. A third hindrance to studying effectively is improper sleep. Now, you can get too little sleep. Psalm 127, verse 2 says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for the Lord gives to His beloved even in his sleep." God wants you to have sleep. And sometimes trying to do without too much sleep is vain. You may not accomplish anything. You can also get too much sleep. Proverbs 23:21 says, "For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." So you can sleep too much. Another one that's very helpful to me, it says, Proverbs 20, verse 13, "Do not love sleep, lest you become poor. Open your eyes." Isn't that simple? Open your eyes. You know, you're laying in bed. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food. You can love sleep too much, and it will work against you. Another hindrance is to socialize too long with your friends. I like to be with my friends and to talk and to have fun. I enjoy that. But if you need to be studying, then what you may need to do is just to say, "I need to go study." Proverbs 14, verse 23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." So you want to use good sense, good wisdom, in spending time with your friends and then spending time studying. Another hindrance to being a good student is laziness. This is an interesting story. This is in the Proverbs. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. "I passed by the field of the sluggard." A slug is a snail, and a sluggard is a person who moves and works like a snail, very, very slowly. He's lazy. "I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction." And this is his conclusion. "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come like a robber, and your want like an armed man." So being lazy and loving sleep can work against you. Another hindrance to being a good student is bad attitudes. A bad attitude for a student is unteachableness. In Proverbs 26, verse 12, the Bible says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." If I came to college and I told my professor, "Professor, I already know everything in this course. How can he help me? I mean, if I already know everything in the course, there's nothing he can teach me." So being unteachable will work against you as a student. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction." So a bad attitude can make you a bad student. Another hindrance is inner turmoil. Lack of inner peace. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A cheerful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit makes one sick." You know, we can be sometimes hurting on the inside, very troubled, but maybe show a good face. In Proverbs 14, verse 13, it says, "Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth or that party atmosphere is heaviness." We can pretend to be very happy and yet be hurting on the inside. Here in the United States, you're a long way from home. You can't drive 2 or 3 hours and go home. It's hard. So you may find that sometimes you experience loneliness. You may be very discouraged. And that can affect the way you concentrate. It may make it hard for you to study. There are other things that trouble us. Guilt can trouble us. It can occupy our thoughts. If we've had an argument with a friend or a girlfriend or boyfriend or someone in our family, that's troubling. And that can keep us from concentrating. And there are many problems like that that can keep us from having inner peace. Well, God desires for us to have inner peace. And when we do have peace within, then it makes us strong. Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion." If someone feels guilty all the time, then it's almost as if someone's chasing them. But it says, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing." And in Proverbs 16, verse 7, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." So God gives us peace within, and he gives even peace with other people when we are at peace with God. There's a little booklet I would encourage you to read if you've not seen this. It's called Steps to Peace with God. It's a very simple book designed by Billy Graham and his organization. It shows you how you can have peace with God. And to have peace within, first of all, means to have peace with God. Then we have peace within, and that gives us the ability to have peace with each other, and it frees our minds so we can concentrate, and we can learn, and we can be good students. But I would encourage you to read this book. So let me conclude. This is Roman numeral 6. In all of your preparations for your career, be sure that you get a complete education. Don't just learn knowledge. Don't just learn skills. Learn character. Open yourself so that God can train your spirit as well. Then you'll get a complete education. The book of Ecclesiastes that I've referred to several times was a book written by Solomon. Solomon in history is written down as one of the wisest men that we know of. He's a very wise man. And these words are at the very end of his book. He wrote a book called Ecclesiastes, which was an expression of his wisdom. And this was his conclusion at the end of that book. Let's read that. "The words of wise men are like goads." Now, a goad is what a farmer used to use to touch the oxen. He would touch the oxen on either side to make the oxen turn left or right, or to make him start moving. And that's what the goad was used for, something to guide us, a goad. "The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. That shepherd is God. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body." It sounds like he's been through finals, you know, studying all those books. Then he said, "The conclusion of the whole matter is this," and this is his final conclusion, "fear God," that means to reverence, to love God, "fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil." Solomon, a very wise man, that was his conclusion. That was a complete education. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." We talked about learning knowledge. That begins with the right perspective of who God is, the fear of God. But it says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." In Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do his commandments." So having a right relationship with God gives us peace. It also enables us to begin to understand knowledge and to begin to understand wisdom. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added to you. Okay? Then at the very back page are some books I would suggest you read. They're not difficult reading, but they would be very, very helpful to you. And Dan Williams, I'm sure, would be able to help you locate these books. But we've already talked about some of these books, but I listed those for you. Okay? Now, maybe you have some questions. We can maybe spend 5 minutes before we go for the lunch. Maybe you have some questions that I could answer for you.
Question.
Yes.
The second page of the handout.
All right, second page.
Or B and the first line.
All right.
Instead of 2 hours of personal study time, we'll teach it 1 hour of test time.
Yes.
Could you be more specific about this? Could you spend them before the class or after the class?
It doesn't matter. Sometime during the week. We were working on a weekly schedule. And what you want to do is to somewhere in your week make sure that you have adequate personal study time to prepare you for each class session. And generally, if you spend 2 hours of homework time for each 1 hour of lecture, you should have plenty of time to be a good student. My college schedule usually was around 16 hours as an undergraduate. Maybe 15 or 16 hours. So 16 plus 32 is, what's that, 48? My work as a doctor is usually 60 hours a week, maybe more. For those of you who are going to other professions, you may find yourselves working 80 hours some weeks. If I can work 60 hours as a physician, then it shouldn't be any problem to work 40 hours a week or 48 hours a week as a student. My father tried to teach me that, and it took me a long time to learn it. But he told me that even then. But it can really help. You may choose also to work a 40-hour week. Here in the United States, most jobs are 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the evening. And it's 5 days a week. That adds up to 40 hours. And if you don't have evening classes, you might even choose to structure your week as if you were working at a full-time job. Then you can work 40 hours, then you have evenings and weekends free. Good. You have been very attentive, even the day after Chinese New Year celebration. How late were you up last night? 12? 2? Very, very late? 12? Well, I appreciate your attentiveness. Well, why don't we close this session and allow me, if I could, to pray for you. Okay? Let's pray and then we can go have some refreshments. All right. Father, thank you for your love for us. You have created us and you understand how our minds work. You understand every intricate detail of how our bodies work. And we acknowledge that you have allowed us to be here in this place because you have a purpose for us. I pray for my friends that you will give them wisdom to be good students and that they'll have time to enjoy their friends and family and to get spiritual training and be an excellent student all at the same time. And we thank you for sending Jesus Christ to give us eternal life. And we pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.